It's almost noon. I'd like to call the Ada Board meeting for January 11th to order. And I'd like Corinne to do the roll call for the board members, please.
Mr. Wilkins.
Here.
Deputy Commissioner Faraday.
Here.
Mr. Carl.
Here.
Ms. Brown.
Here.
Deputy Commissioner Barnhill.
Here.
Mr. Dick.
Here.
Mr. Cruz.
Here. Would you continue with staff and public, please?
Okay. I will appoint you in the room. Please state your name and organization. We'll start here at the table.
John Springsteen, Ada.
Back row.
Elwood Brenner, Alaska Journal of Commerce.
Elizabeth Beer.
Jeff Van Wat, Ada.
Sunny Morrison, Agatite.
Mark Gardner, BFM.
Jim Terrio, Ada.
Jim Hemsath, Ada. Harston Ron Vick, Ada.
Bart Cornfield, Good Friends Petroleum.
Tim
Bradley,
Budget
Hitchcock. I'm
Mary
Petroleum.
Tom Erickson,
Ada.
Mike
Ketchu,
Ada.
Mark David, Ada.
Ada.
Jerry Judea, Department of Law.
Ben Cavanaugh, Ada. Do we have public on the phone?
David Prusak, Chair of Gas Utility and Stantec.
Any other public?
All right. When you get a moment, Board Member Wilkin does not have a packet.
You didn't get your packet?
So, if you have an extra one, I'll go ahead and continue with looking for we got an agenda in front of us for approval.
I'll give you a second.
Do we have any additions, suggestions, deletions? Agenda's approved. Item number 5 is public comments. If you make a public comment, please limit yourself to 3 minutes. State your full name and affiliation if you have one. And I'll start online. Is anybody online wishing to make a public comment? Anybody online? There's no one online. Anybody in the boardroom? Seeing no one in the boardroom, I'll close public comments. That brings us up to item number 6, prior minutes, December 7, 2017. Four members of the discussion, deletions, corrections. Hearing, seeing none, the minutes for December 7, 2017 approved. Brings us to item number 7, new business. One resolution L18-01, totem in. John?
Yes, Chair. So, there is a corrected version that's been provided to you. Versus the fire that under the firm heading shows ADA's participation is $8.2 million and FMB's participation is $950,000. And that tracks with the resolution and the memo. Let's see. So loan resolution L18-01 regards the purchase by the authority of a participation in a loan to the Totem Inn Incorporated. The loan is for new construction for the Totem Inn located in Valdez, Alaska. This financing supports 75 construction jobs, 14 new jobs, and 7 retained jobs. The dollar amount of ADA's participation is $8,200,000. And at this time, I ask Chris Anderson to present.
Chris?
Good morning, or I guess it's afternoon.
Good afternoon, Chris. Welcome.
As John indicated, this is a request from FMBA. The borrower involved is going to be Totem Inn, Inc., and the guarantors are James Williams, Connie, and Richard Selby. It will pay off a construction loan with FMBA. The project is known as the Totem Inn. It's located in Valdez. In regards to job creation, there are 75 construction jobs originated, 14 new jobs, and 7 new jobs that are retained. Management, it will be managed by the existing owners who have run their existing operations since 1986. James Williams Sr. actually built this hotel in 1972. We would be taking a first deed of trust on the property, on the improvement. And the property was appraised by North Pacific Advisors for an as-is value of $13,050,000, which gives us a 68% loan to value. The debt service coverage, the proposed debt service coverage is 2.39:1. And we would also be taking a UCC filing on all the FFNs. There are no noted environmental issues. And in regards to the market, as you probably know, Valdez has a seasonal economy with tourism, commercial fishing, and construction, which peaks in the summer months. Valdez also has a year-round base, marine terminal, and Petrostar, as well as teleskiing in the late winter and early spring. According to the appraiser, the Valdez visitor market has been limited by quality of available rooms, and these new higher quality rooms should attract more visitors to Valdez. The Totem Inn has been in operation for 45 years and has benefited from the destination quality of the Valdez market. The strengths that we see in this credit are the fact that it is new construction, 65-room hotel, but it is only an increase to the market of 35 rooms. The primary building with the Totem Inn burnt down in the fall of 2016, and so this is the rebuild, the construction, and this is a term out of that rebuild. The loan-to-value would be 68%. The construction company is known to us. They do have a job, Builder's Choice. They have seasoned operators, so very good operating history. And in the appraiser's opinion, and I would be inclined to agree, it's an under-service location. So perceived weakness when you look at hotels is the fact that it's a non-flagged hotel, but we try to mitigate this by putting a payment reserve in place of $300,000. So that reserve would be in place until the project reaches a 1.40:1 debt service coverage for a two-year period, which would incorporate the startup time subsequent to construction. In regards to portfolio diversification in the Gulf Coast region, the percentage of ADA's total portfolio dollars statewide will increase from 3.38 to 5.32. ADA has 13.95 of its total statewide portfolio in tourism business, and this would increase to 15.67. For participated loans within the Gulf Coast region, 29.36 of ADA's total portfolio is attributed to tourism, and this would increase to 56.05. Staff does recommend this loan for approval, and I would open it up.
Thank you. Questions from staff? Questions from the board? I have one, and it's more in general.
Okay.
This one. So, it is lending $8 million. Has anybody from staff did a site visit?
Pardon me?
Has anybody from the staff do a site visit on this project?
No. However, Mr. Will Stark is with us today also. He just walked in, and he is with FMBA in Belkins. And so he has done that, and we also have reports of inspections from the contractors. We have done site inspections in the past, but not recently.
We have a facility in Valdez, and I can tell you the last time I was there, all the concrete was poured, and a lot of work had been done. And it looked to me like we were just getting ready to start setting modules. I imagine you're setting modules by now.
They are. We have pictures. They have sent pictures, and it's my understanding from the contract inspector that it's 78% complete. And they anticipate the completion of the project in April 15th.
I can tell you that the place is really needed there. I mean, it was like the hub of Valdez. When it burned, it left a big hole in the Valdez market. So it's definitely needed. I'm just kind of sorry to see they're not putting a new restaurant in right now. They're going to do that later. I mean, to me, I would have put the restaurant in right now. That was like the spot to go to.
That's what I've heard.
And now there's no spot to go to. So it still leaves a big hole in the community. So the only thing I would say about this is that they should build a restaurant right now, too.
Yeah, that's Ben's comment.
Chris has anticipated that anybody will look at the site, the facility, when it's complete before the loan is executed.
Well, because we're a participant and not the lead, it will certainly be inspected by FMBA, and we could also make it a condition that we look at it as well. If the board chooses, it's not anticipated that we would.
Well,
I'm
bringing this up as more of a general deal.
Yeah.
You know, when you lend someone $8 million or $3 million or $10 million, $15, I'm wondering if the policy should be that we physically look at what we're lending the money on.
Well,
regardless of third party, what you call it.
Yeah,
I don't know. Is that a prudent? Yes. Is that something prudent? John, what are your comments on that?
And having seen, we have the benefit of First National Bank of Alaska being local, but then also understand the benefit of physical reconnaissance and verification of the construction of an asset.
So would you recommend that we start to do that in the future?
Yes. For assets of a certain size, I believe, for loan participations of a certain size, and we need to discuss the threshold. Is it $3 million, is it $5 million, or in excess? I guess we could argue that if something's coming up for board action, that we'd include that as part of our...
Yeah, I would recommend that you come up with a number, a value, where you put the cost of the visit, wherever it's at, into the cost of the loan, in the fees, but for fiscal responsible prudence, I think we should leave the dollar amount up to you, what you think is responsible. I just, it's something I've been wanting to ask, I keep forgetting to ask for the last year, if we physically do this. So I'm not picking on this particular one. It's just, what got me thinking is that we're going to loan $950,000 and the bank's going to loan...
Yeah,
$8 million. It was backwards on the original.
Yeah.
On the original deal. I'm like, well, that's interesting. I'm gonna ask some questions about that one. So obviously you changed it this morning. So I appreciate you folks doing something like that. With that, I'll take a motion put on the table.
Mr. Chair, I move L18-01 for approval.
I second it.
Quinn, would you pull the board?
Mr. Wilkins.
Aye.
Deputy Commissioner Paradis.
Aye.
Mr. Carl.
Yes.
Ms. Brown.
Yes.
Deputy Commissioner Barnhill.
Yes.
Mr. Dick.
Yes.
Mr. Bruce.
Yes.
Motion carried.
Thank you, Chris. Item B now, John, is IEP update, Trigger Energy Project.
Yeah, certainly. So for the updates on the Trigger Energy Project, I'll ask Gene Terrio and his team to come to the table and present.
Thank you.
Hi, Gene. Happy New Year.
Apologies for my...
Okay, I give us happy news.
My apologies for my raspy voice today.
I've got the same thing.
Mr. Chairman, I believe in your packet you have a copy of the most recent quarterly report that was due under House Bill 105 to the legislature. It was sent to the legislature just recently. I generally follow the outline of that report for my update, but today, because of a number of things to touch on that are not generally covered in that report, I've submitted to you an outline of the items that I'm working on. So the first thing is just that the quarterly report, which covers everything from in October, November, and December that took place in this project, was submitted to the legislature. As I drafted the wording of the report, I tried to include information in there to satisfy a request for information that came from the Legislative Finance Division. They were looking for information on the current status of use of funds, things of that nature, in order to respond to a request by a member of the legislature. I kept in touch with Ledge Finance as the report was being done. They interacted with the legislator and said that they were fucking late for the report to be available if it would in fact provide most of the information that they were looking for. So I was pleased that they would give us that leeway The report was submitted, and I followed up with a phone call with some additional information. So that was done, and you can see it's dated January. On the LNG storage project, just to let you know, based on the past action of the Ada Board, the total funds that have been spent on that so far, I think back in June, the board authorized the use of $1.5 million of capital from the IEP funding, and then in December, actually authorized another $45.5 million to actually implement the construction of that 5.2 million gallon tank in South Fairbanks that would be the basis of storage for the combined FNG and IGU systems in the future. The Ada was is obliged under the terms of the PSA and FA to actually get concurrence from the IGU board with that decision to go ahead with the storage project. And the IGU board did provide that concurrence on December 12th. At this point, the contract negotiations for the work on the tank have been done. The contract has been signed. Was signed on December 22nd. For the actual tank itself, there are still some negotiations going on for the remainder of plant, that's in the piping, and the regas facility, the building to hold the regas facility boilers. Those negotiations are ongoing. And we are currently waiting for the Fairbanks North Star Borough Planning Commission to make final determination on the land use permit expansion. The land use permit that's in hand is for LNG storage, but we have to get permission for the sizing up of the tank. That is due to be decided on the 16th of this month. And I did...
Is that Gene? Yes. So, what I'm reading this, it says negotiations conclude. So, I thought we were trying to get in the ground early. So, you haven't really done any site prep or foundation work yet?
No, the site prep work, which was contracted out, I believe, to... Great Northwest.
Not according to them yesterday. They don't have a contract yet.
Well, some of the site to get access to the site, to do brush clearing on the site, and do trenching around and to just mitigate any kind of runoff has been done. But actual digging of the foundation is probably not going to start until the 18th of this month. I thought it was prudent to get that final requirement done by the planning commission before those major funds were done.
But they didn't speak to that. They spoke to the fact that they're still going round and round with pricing with the general.
Mr. Prusak, who is with IGU and is acting as the project engineer, is available online.
I just want to make sure that we're... I don't get the details of the contract negotiation. I want to make sure we're not falling behind the schedule, because I don't see a schedule here, you know, of construction and how this affects it. When I read negotiations conclude, does that affect the schedule? Are we behind schedule, on schedule? You know what I mean? Because I specifically remember the concern of getting in the ground, getting it started to meet the completion date so we can have get the tax credits from the state. And that's important.
Mr. Chairman, I think it would be good to have Mr. Prusak, if he's available online, just to speak to that. My understanding from Mr. Britton, who just happens to be on some personal leave right now, has told me that everything is progressing on schedule. I can have the tank done in the middle of 2019, so we can start the cool down process and actually have the tank in operation serving customers by that deadline of January 1st, 2020, that we are on track to meet that.
Would it be too much for every board meeting a monthly schedule, construction schedule for the deliverables and what the expectations are updated every month, so pretty 8x11 chart that shows that, so the board's
you know, in the loop as far as what's going on.
Sure, you can certainly do that. David, are you?
Mr. Chair, this is David Prusak. If I may respond or explain a little bit about the contract with the tank, I'd be happy to do that. The contract is signed for the EPC for the tank. Indeed, the entire site is cleared. The cutoff trench around where the tank will be excavated is complete. Basically, what we're waiting on is the conditional use permit to be amended, along with allowing the foundation's contractor, the freezing soil portion of it on foundation work, to be able to complete their design, because they've got to be able to put those foundations in the ground once the excavation occurs. As Gene had talked about, the excavation is anticipated to begin at the middle of next week. We expect it to be done in about 10 to 12 days, and immediately following that with the backfill will be the installation of the freezing soil. So things are moving along very well, and so that aspect of the tank portion of the negotiations, in fact, long lead items for the tank have been ordered at this point.
Thank you, David. So at our last meeting, it was suggested that we not, that you would not publicly tell us who the contractor was, who was selected, who the subs are.
Yeah.
Can we get that on the record now?
We can. They're called the Preload Cryogenics out of Boston, and they also have a variety of subcontractors that are working for them, and the interior tank is American Tank and Vessel out of Houston.
Okay, and are there any local contractors in this?
Great Northwest has got all of the site civil work. Golder is doing a tremendous amount of work on the geotechnical portion of the foundations. Arctic Foundations from Anchorage is providing the freezing soil components. And Ratty is the contractor that will be producing the concrete product. The outer shell will be made of concrete, and that will all actually be produced here locally.
So I read in the Fairbanks paper for a design change, you went to a double wall tank. Is that correct? Would you mind, someone mind telling the board what's going on with that?
Yeah, originally when this was contemplated back in 2014, they were looking at a single wall tank, and where we had to construct a dike around the facility, took a bigger footprint to be able to develop that site. And with the contractors that provided the proposals for this, we were able to get a very attractive price for a dual wall tank, which allows us to lessen that footprint. It got pricing that was actually more competitive than doing a single wall tank, and we're able to make that footprint a bit smaller than what we originally had planned for in 2014. And so the dual wall tank, essentially, if there were ever a failure in the interior of the tank, the secondary tank will hold all of the contents that may potentially leak from the interior tank.
When was the decision made to go with the double wall tank?
When the proposals came in, the contractors that were proposing on it, it was very clear that the best proposal that was put out there was by a contractor that was only proposing the dual wall tank.
Okay.
And that added another $6 million, is that correct?
That does not sound correct. I could look up to see what that exact dollar amount is. I don't believe it was that high, but I don't have that number off the top of my head. I'm sorry.
Gene, was this in the original budget that you gave us, that we approved here a month ago?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. All of this work is within the budget that was approved by the ADA board and then concurred with by the IG board in early December. At the time of that December meeting, Mr. Britton was still finalizing exactly which proposal he was going with and trying to negotiate for the best price. At that time, he didn't want to let out, you know, who the contractor was going to be because he hadn't actually gotten to that final price with him. As he finished those negotiations, as Mr. Brusak indicated, it became clear that the dual wall tank was very competitively priced and that it actually allowed us to have a smaller footprint, which is good in the piece of land that we're operating on, and is, I believe, a safer piece of equipment. So it ended up being the better deal. I think the suggestion that was made in an article that ran in the paper that the project was over budget and taken into consideration that the last project estimate, which was 4 years ago, had been updated when the budget was put together, proposed to the ADA board, and then ratified by the IGU board. And so all of the work that is planned being put into motion here is within the budget that the ADA board approved. And I believe there is a $2 million plus contingency fund. As Mr. Brusak indicated, the largest component, the tank itself, is under a fixed price contract. And so it leaves about $10 to $15 million that the contingency will be able to cover. So I'm hoping that with good project management, I will be able to save as much on that contingency as possible.
Continue.
And David, have you put together a Gantt chart on this project? I should have asked you if you had that just so I could show the board today or certainly be able to in the future how the different components are timed to have the tank in the operation that needs to be.
Yeah, there should be no problem to be able to get that over. We have that schedule, yes.
Okay, thank you. And Mr. Chairman, on the outline that I put together here, it does have the breakdown of all of the prior costs to the FNG, the previous appropriation of capital fund by the ADA board, and the authorization for the SETS loan. So that includes the total budget, and the project is on track to be built within that budget. Finally, Mr. Chairman, I wanted just to acknowledge that first of all, I have reviewed the Land Use Commission recommendation for the permit request, modification request that is pending on January 16th. And it is the staff's recommendation to the Planning Commission that the request be approved. So I think it appears that everything is on track for that. When the notices were sent out to surrounding landowners and a notice put up on the fence of the existing property that this was pending, FNG was actually approached by one of the adjoining landowners with the possible sale of their property to FNG. Mr. Britton brought that to the attention of Mr. Tracy and myself. We reviewed it. It looks like it is a sensible purchase. It would actually give the storage property more frontage along a rail spur that is in the area. So in the future, if there is an ability to take ISO containers off the rail, we would have more frontage in able to do that, and also a bit more property in that where we would actually be able to stage ISO containers. Very long term, if the Fairbanks area is being served via a pipeline bringing natural gas across the state of Alaska, and LNG is actually produced in the Fairbanks area, stored in the tank to perhaps go up and down the Richardson Highway or somewhere. Again, the ability to have and handle ISO containers on the expanded piece of property seems like it would be a sensible thing to consider. We have interacted with the IGU board so that they can possibly consider giving their approval of that. Under the terms of the PSA and FDA, we have a duty to, when it comes to an FNG asset, to consult with IGU and get their approval. I am prepared to talk a little bit more about the potential piece of property, the proposed price, in executive session, but because that is still under the negotiation, I'd rather not discuss terms in public portion of the meeting today. Moving on then to the North Slope path. Under the terms of the PSA, we had an obligation to request from DNR that the North Slope pad be transferred to IGU. Any sublease on the North Pole pad be transferred to IGU. Also, we were requested to request an amendment to the existing lease terms that would allow more broad commercial property to commercial operations to take place on the existing lease. And also, IGU had requested that that any remaining gravel rights under a material sourcing contract that ADA may have also be transferred to IGU. Under the PSA, we have an obligation to make those requests by DNR by January 5th. Director Springsteen did send a letter to Commissioner Mack on the 5th making those requests so that we met that deadline. We are in discussions with the IGU. I'm prepared to talk a little bit more in executive session on some of the negotiations that we have had ongoing for some time, possible sublease on that North Slope path. We have some proposed terms that we can share with you in executive session for that use. And again, although we are not required to get IGU approval of that sublease, because the North Slope pad is not an asset that is owned by Pantex, we do feel that it's appropriate that we collaborate with them and bring them along as we discuss the potential lesser or portion of that pad, and then when things are transferred over to IGU again, it's the existing lease and any sublease that we transfer over to them. So we put a number of things in place to meet the obligation of requesting things of DNR, and also we have made a request to DNR for their approval, consideration of potential approval of a subleasor for a portion of the existing pad. Do you have questions on that? And again, may have more information. You might have questions in the executive session. On conversions, Mr. Chairman, it was that you had indicated you wanted to know that we have continued to do work on conversions. And up to this point, ADA has really been the lead on putting mechanisms in place and finding potential sources of funding that could help with conversion in the future. As you know, PACE legislation was passed last year, which could potentially help businesses specifically to convert to natural gas. There is also interest in farm bill financing, and I have interacted with legislative offices on the introduction of farm bill financing and farm bill financing clarification in the statutes this year that would help specifically with residential customers. And I've also followed up with Senator Murkowski's office on the continuation of EPA Airshed non-attainment grant funds, which the borough has used to date to help swap out inefficient wood burning apparatus, but would also lend itself to assistance with conversion to natural gas in the future. I just want to make sure that that source of funding is going to be ongoing, available to the borough, and then through the borough to the combined utility. IGU has been the lead on...
Mr. Chairman, Brett, just what's the scale of that EPA and Airshed non-attainment grant?
I think in the last couple of years, the borough has qualified for $2.5 million. The total amount of the grant funding that is available in the Pacific Northwest, I believe, was taken up to $15 million. It's competitive with other areas that suffer from, you know, either seasonal or current year-round, you know, challenges with their air quality. But the language to qualify was modified so that Fairbanks, because its lapse with the air standards is on a seasonal basis, that Fairbanks would would call it. So, you know, the total funding is $15 million.
Gary, got any questions?
No, not right now.
Gene, is it safe to say that at the closing of the sale, that IGU will then be the lead on legislation and sources of funds?
I hope by the close of the sale that all legislation that's necessary will be in place. Again, I know that there's interest amongst the members of the Interior Delegation on bill financing clarification, and it is a clarification. Actually, with the current ownership structure of IGU and FMG, on bill financing is allowed. But if we want to go to private lenders to provide a source of funding, I think they would probably feel more comfortable if the statutes were very clear that on-bill financing is allowed. And so that's what we will be attempting to do, is just get that clarification in place.
Sorry, I'm kind of confused a little bit here, and bear with me a little bit. You know, conversions, as we know, is critical to the success of the IEP project, right? And what I don't want to see is, personally, my opinion I thought you were taking care of it, and they should have been taking care of it, or, you know, back and forth. At some point in time, someone has to be the lead for everything. In my personal opinion is, it's a community project, and at some point, the community is to take the lead on all aspects concerning the IEP.
Yeah.
And ADA and other resources are there to assist and to do whatever we can, or any other agency or organization, to assist in that endeavor. But what I want to know is, when is that going to happen? And is there a transition going, a conversation going, something that passes the baton to the torch, so to speak, with a clear understanding of what their mission is, what they're going to do, input from us to make this successful?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, and that's already underway. Under the IGU is the lead on the local implementation. They have had for some time a contractor working on a conversion plan. This is a recent summary on their work that is pending right now before the IGU board. It comes along with a much thicker report, again, that's pending for approval of the IGU board, that is really the local utility in conjunction with the local governments really taking on the implementation of conversion in the future. And so the combination of the two utilities under the local utility that is owned by the three local governments, I think is going to put in place that the local entity stepping up, and that's well underway, I believe, with their working on this group. This body group.
So, Gene, who today is in charge of conversions? And if you have a conversion issue, who do you go to in these two organizations?
At this point, I think it really is. IGU has done the most work at the local level. But keep in mind that right now, we're not really able to help a potential customer with conversion because we can't take on any new customers.
Can't get what? I'm sorry.
We cannot take on any new customers right now.
Well, yeah, okay, but I want to talk about that. There's really two things when we talk about conversions. One is looking backwards. Is my house has been built for 30 years, and I'm going to do something with the existing furnace. And that's what everybody thinks of when they think of conversions. Okay, set them aside for the moment. Well, let's stay there. The people that have been trying to derail this project have put out all sorts of numbers, all sorts of suggestions, that because existing folks can't convert at a reasonable economic price, this project shouldn't move forward. And those folks have carried the day over the last 6 months. So there is a clear and present opportunity, in fact, necessity, to debunk that. And we should be doing that right now. Somebody should be putting together that explanation of why those folks were wrong and talk about the very things that you have here. So there's an opportunity that we can do something with conversions. And then looking ahead are those folks that are building a house today, and they want to know what they should do about gas, because this project is real and people are asking me, what do I do? Let me give an example of what I think we should work on. I have a friend, a lifetime friend named Jim. Jim's building a house. So Jim and I had dinner, my wife and I and Jim and his wife, and we were talking about this very thing. He said, gee, I want to have gas. I said, well, go to FNG. So just last week, he went to FNG. FNG said, no, we're not taking any customers yet. And I told Jim that they weren't. And so he walked away with nothing other than, we'll let you know when you can get gas. Now, he's building a house behind you right now. It's trenching for sewer and water. He wanted to collaborate so he could lay his lateral today.
But gas.
For gas, thank you. So he walked away really with an empty basket, and actually being told to wait and everything will be okay. It seems to me that the opportunity, we should have, FNG right now should have a packet that said, that lists out, gas will be available first quarter 2020, blah, blah, this is the expected price, and then and then here are your options for what you can do today. They certainly ought to be looking at dual fuel burners and an example of what that means and what it would cost. We need to let them, when they walk out the door, know what they're going to do, because right now they're on a dilemma, do I do gas or do I do diesel? And that's where Jim is right now. And there are many like that, and there are going to be many more next year, this summer construction season, until we can answer them, this is how we want you as a customer, and this is where we are today. So there's really two conversions we're talking about, and neither of them right now are being taken care of, and there is an opportunity for this huge issue called conversions, which means nothing more than increased demand, new or existing, that we should be seizing on them to let people know that, one, the project is real, two, these are the economics, three, these are the options that you have, and when 2020 comes, you'll be ready for gas just as we are. So I think there's a huge amount of work to be done with this thing that we've bundled into a category called conversions, and every day that we let slip by is a day that we may lose a customer, and we certainly don't seize the day that we have a viable project that is up and running and will be ready to make Fairbanks North Pole a better place come first quarter of 2020. So I want to drill down on this and find out who the person is when somebody has a request having to do with conversions, new or old. Who do they talk to? And maybe we don't have that today, but we should have it today. And if IGU is the leader, then tell me who the person is that's working on that. If you're the leader, tell me you're the person. I want to name it.
My initial reaction is FNG would be the clearinghouse, because they're going to call the gas company, and then they can turn them on to wherever a conversion coordinator is and give them respect. An example with your friend Jim is, you know, you say, well, have your utility contractor build the extension up your house to the right-of-way to these specifications. We'll come out and check it, inspect it, and clear it, put it in the file so that when we come by with a gas line, we want to hook you up, or we get the product, we can hook you up and we don't disrupt your life at your home and your new lawn. I mean, those are simple things to do, but I think Mr. Wilkins is right. There should be a place to go, and it should be, in my personal opinion, if you don't have conversions, you don't have a project. It is the most critical thing after the dollars to consider, and an effort should be put in. If you drive the volume up, you drive the cost down. Simple project.
just add on to that, you know, Jim there, now he's bad-mouthing the utility because he went down there and dealt with what he feels is incompetence. So now he's telling everybody in Fairbanks, you know, and we need good press, not bad press. And so we create our own demise here. I mean, it would have been so simple to have a packet or to at least say, I'm going to get right back with you. You know, I'm going to have something for you instead of telling them I can't do anything. You know, I mean, that's just the wrong message. And, you know, word of mouth in Fairbanks, you know, it's a small town. We're fighting an uphill battle anyway. I mean, have people coming to me and asking me about the tank, and I didn't, I'll be honest with you, they said, well, what's about the tank here? You know, we saw in the newspaper, first thing, you got an overrun. Well, it really wasn't an overrun, but it wasn't explained very well. It wasn't explained very well because I didn't understand it. I guarantee you the public doesn't understand it. So right away, you get a black guy, and you don't need one.
Mr. Chairman, on the, and Mr. Brook, I think your suggestion is good. We should have a packet, and I believe it should be part of this work product, so that in 5 months, when IGU really is the in charge of the combined utility, that we're not trying to then merge a packet that FMG has versus a packet that IGU has. It should be one packet, one message. And you know, I think the fact that Mr. Pruzak from IGU is a project engineer on the tank with FMG, we really are starting to pull those two.
Project construction and management is completely different than conversion. Don't mix the two up. These folks are busy as it is trying to bring a project in on time under budget. I mean, it is a community issue, conversions, and it should be all the local governments and the community chamber, everybody should have a seat at the table to focus on the conversions and how to get them, as Mr. Carl, how to get the message out and whatnot. To put the onus on folks that are technical and whatnot to deal with the public is, I think, a huge mistake.
I was just using that as an example, and I think this work that's been done is another example of how we're pulling the two entities together on the conversion
end. Well, Mr. Chairman, with your indulgence, Mr. Stewart has been nice enough to join us today, and I wonder if he's the executive director of IGU. I wonder if he might give us a couple, 3 minutes on where IGU is on this important.
Sure, yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
You can hear me, Joel.
Excellent. Actually, Gene covered it fairly well, so I don't have a whole lot to add. What I did provide Mr. Terrio his request, again, we have been working through this issue specifically regarding things that this utility might provide under its own horsepower, recognizing that the research that we had done and that our consultant had done indicated that outside funding to really directly, they just use the word subsidize, conversions was not available at this moment and may not be forthcoming. Now, you all have been listening pretty intently, and you guys are making excellent recommendations. And in fact, recommendations that coincide and align with recommendations we're already receiving and planning we're already making regarding an onboarding program and suite of offerings. But again, right now, at this early stage, or what has been a very early stage, particularly with the question open as to whether or not we were going to actually unite the utilities, we moved it to the point, this conversion program and planning, simply to the point where if a no answer had been forthcoming from our board, you would at least have something as a starter place if FNG would remain under your ownership. Since it appears that it won't be, we'll be operationalizing it on our own as a, you know, under a combined utility structure. And it is part of our planning at this point.
Como, is there any initiative on behalf of IGU to reach out to the people of Fairbanks and North Pole with this current status and expectations of conversion in regard to timing, costs, and availability?
You know, we're really talking about it's a, you know, kind of a marketing strategy and a, you know, PR program. And the answer really to that has been no. At this point, I've been husbanding my resources regarding actually sealing a deal. In direct response to that Jim fellow you referenced, again, as it stands right now, the recommendation is simply, you know, to something that I'm sure the homeowners are already about to do, which is put in a new furnace. Because right now, most of the things regarding easy transition between oil and gas are really contingent upon age and make of the heating appliance. With the expectation that you know, most of the standard appliances available on market are beginning to have conversion kits that allow for an easier, cheaper transition of appliance. What we are in a position to do right now, unfortunately, is simply have builders put in the natural gas appliances unless they're going to, unless they were going to do that on their own volition, do so with an alternative fuel, which at this point would be propane. That's my understanding.
I hope certainly.
Sorry, go on.
We're not giving propane as an option.
Say again.
I certainly hope that IGU is not presenting propane as an option, as a bridge fuel.
No, sir.
Okay.
No, sir. Just the reality that if you were going to put in, say, natural gas appliances, say a natural gas heating unit, natural gas stove, natural gas dryer, perhaps even other appliances, the fuel that, that you would be using would be propane.
Thank you.
Now, my understanding is there have been some individuals who have, in fact, done something similar in expectation of gas. Again, at this point, though, the best recommendation that could be given is simply, again, to buy one of those appliances from one of the larger recognized appliance vendors, recognizing that there are, in fact, today, particularly we got a presentation from one in 2016 off of the East Coast, blower manufacturers who recognized that they in the upper Northeast were going through a similar transition from oil to gas in their own region, had crossed over to making conversion kits that really were blower conversions, conversion kits, somewhere in the $2,500 range as opposed to an entirely new furnace.
Thank you, Joel.
And that they were making them for a suite of brands. I believe at the time they had six.
All right, thank you. I would just suggest there is some work to be done, and I think IGU needs to get going. Thank you.
And I think that's an excellent idea, sir. The only thing I resist is the implication that we're not going.
Yeah. Mr. Chairman.
Yeah. But we'll see if we can't make a larger, let it be more broadly known that we are, in fact, moving forward. And how? Not unlike the storage. Yes.
Thank you, Joel.
Mr. Wilkins' recommendation is certainly good, and as this document gets finalized and the report goes along with it, I think the suggestion that packet, you know, the forms, the information on the increased efficiency of gas appliances, the ability to convert, you know, would all be spelled out in this document, then that would be the documents that would be viewed by both utilities and ultimately by the one utility 5 months from now when they're under IGU ownership.
Jane, can we just kind of make a commitment that would sooner than later, that when someone calls FNG, they have something to say and some place to put someone to get the gyms of the world building a new house or wanting to convert, answers that whether it's a conversion coordinator under IGU, whether it's someone that's got the knowledge of FNG until IGU, you know, signs on the dotted line and actually purchases you to something between now and closing, that we can start to springboard this. I think that's sooner than later. Yesterday would have been best. Tomorrow is okay.
Sure. Yes, Mr. Chairman, and keep in mind, we know every piece of property in the Fairbanks Metro Borough that has pipe in front of it right now. We could actually gear up and do a targeted mailing to every one of them.
I put a door hanger on every door.
So that if I'm a homeowner in that building was a few years back, a I know if I just live along 2 more years, I can jump right to a gas fire. If I can't make it, I'm going to make sure that we put something in that we easily convert with gas. Sure.
Those are all the recommendations.
Moving on, Mr. Chairman, under the terms of the PSA, we had an obligation to go to the RCA by January 5th. To request the transfer of the CPCN from FNG to IGU. IGU has taken the lead on that, and they did make the application to the RCA by January 5th, or on January 5th. I believe we'll be looking for an opportunity to stress to the IGU, to the RCA, that we've got some time sensitivity on them when they can reach a conclusion on that transfer. Regarding the existing bond authorization, legislation was introduced as part of the pre-filed bills down in Juneau to extend the existing bond authorization out for another 5 years. It would not increase the bond authorization. There just right now is a sunset on June 30th, 2018 on that authorization, and so Senator Pete Kelly has introduced legislation on the Senate side, Representative Steve Thompson on the House side, to just extend it out for another 5 years. With regards to all of the action previously taken by the IATA and IGU board, with regards to utilization of some of the IEP funds, we have had a meeting of our accounting staff. We're on agreement on the dollars now. We're just looking to move things into categories that match up with the action that the ADA boards has taken. Previously, you authorized payment of gas at high cost using capital funds. You authorized separate coverage of integration costs and some due diligence costs for IGU with SETS funds. And so we're just aligning the two accounting systems so all the reporting is understood, the dollar matches, the month match up, and we'll be able to get those repayments out the door to IGU. We had a very good meeting early this week on that front. And then just with regards to increased community outreach, I did meet with Mr. Wilkin and Mr. Dodson from FEDCO in December. And have committed that we will have a series of op-ed pieces prepared to highlight to the community what's going on with storage, what's being put in place for conversions, things of that nature. And I have also reached out to the Fairbanks Rotary, the Fairbanks Chamber of Commerce, to give them an update. Mr. Stewart and I did give the Fairbanks Forest Fund Borough Assembly an update in early December after the votes were taken to move forward with the PSA and the campaign. That concludes my prepared comments.
Thank you, Jim. Questions for the board? Gary?
I have two. We could go back, to page one under the LNG storage project. I think the board should be aware, and I just want to put on the record in question, we were very grateful for the IGU to vote in the affirmative to approve the gas storage tank. We know that that tank is the heart of this whole project. So I was a bit distressed and questioned when a board member abstained from the vote. I'm wondering if we requested an explanation of that abstention. I know it wasn't asked for at the meeting. That troubles me because of the import of the vote itself. But it troubles me even more so that if that becomes standard operating procedure at that board, whomever's on that board as the years march on, if that becomes standard operating procedure, that creates a very dysfunctional board. And so I wanted to know if we have asked for the reason for that abstention, because it wasn't asked at the vote. And if so, have we received an answer, or should we once again request it?
Mr. Chairman,
I just want to piggyback on that comment, and I will defer to the wisdom of the senators at the respective ends of the table. But, and I know this isn't a directly analogous situation, but certainly in a legislative context, in a representative context, you have a duty to vote when you're on a board. And I think that might be an aspect of board training to that board.
Mr. Chairman, I agree. If you're going to be on the board, you run for the board, you have an obligation to make decisions. I know that the IGU chairman was bothered by that action, and I believe they had requested a legal review. I should have asked Mr. Stewart if they had a response to that, but I know it's something that their chairman is wanting to track down. We can maybe put him on the spot. Mr. Stewart, can you tell us if you received legal advice on
Simply that an abstention acts as a no vote on a practical basis. It's an allowable vote under our bylaws, though it is not would not be under the assembly, is my understanding.
So, are you able to tell us if your chairman is going to propose a change so that abstentions won't be allowed in the future?
No, I haven't had that direct discussion with him at this time. Okay. Certainly, it was discussed. It was discussed, and it's discouraged. What is always encouraged, and you all know this as directors on your board, it's always encouraged that people give the justifications or the reasons for why they're taking the actions they take or making the decisions they make, so that can be on the record, so the public can have that understanding. And that people make affirmative votes, either in the affirmative or the negative. But that's as far as it's gotten. Again, what was clear is that it was, in fact, allowable under the bylaws, and that from a voting perspective, it does act as a no vote. The real question for us was just whether or not how it impacted votes necessary to get an affirmative action on the part of, or negative action on the part of a board.
Thank you, General.
Well, I guess I'm not going to let that sit. So what would we like to do as a board? When you have a vote 6-0 with one abstention, you're not too worried about it. We appreciate it very much. But if you have a vote 3-3 setting rates or things in the future that are going to be just as important, if not more important than that storage tank, there better be clear and bright lines when someone says, I'm not going to vote today. So I can understand it if the person voting has a conflict and that conflict is stated, and you can't be married to the contractor and make that vote. But so, Mr. Chairman, I guess I'm going to look over at Jerry and ask what we should do in order to get on the record what happened and what our options are. Because I would like to have that set in place for the future. So I'm not quite sure how to chase this, and I don't want to get in IGU's face, but this, I hope we all agree, is just not something we should let slide by and say the bylaws allowed it, because we will get bit on that years in the future, but bit by that. So I'll leave it up to you and others. We should do something.
Mr. Chairman, if I may, certainly we have proposed a deal under the PSA and FA to consolidate the utilities and have a sound enterprise that operated them in the future. Certainly, I'm sensing from your comments and the head nodding around the table that people are concerned that with that voting structure allowed to go forward, that's a concern. And so we certainly can express that to IGU and ask if there's consideration or suggest that there should be consideration on how that be fixed.
I would suggest, Dean, that you visit with their director and we have to, with John on that level to come up with a recommendation or at least common ground where you have common ground where you differentiate and work through it to come up to a solution that obviously they feel that it's in their best interest. Certainly, I'm not in the mood to dictate anything, but to nurture something, to get something that's positive, finish line for future actions, I think would be beneficial. So that's and let us know how that progresses. Do you have one more?
That's a live item, right? That's
not dead. Okay.
It's a live item. Gene, have we had any discussion now that we have a project as of last December? Have we had any further discussion with EPA and how they may be able to help us with conversions?
Except for my inquiring whether the money is still there for that grant fund. Of course, Chris Flattick is now in Region 10, the head of Region 10. And so I know because of the other project I'm working with, he's just now started getting up to speed. Yeah. Had a teleconference with him last week, I think. And so the timing is probably right to reach out to him as the head of Region 10 to know, okay, what is another possibility for what you did to help?
Okay, so that's why I've been kind of pushing that, because that possibility is still there. And we've been set off before because we didn't have a project, and I appreciate that. But now we have a project. And obviously they're writing us really hard to do something about it, and we have. And now perhaps it's time for them. They may be able to find 25 or 50 million in the couch.
Well, the Region 10 administrator is very familiar with the project.
Oh, yeah.
And the problem and what we're doing. I think it's a strike by the iron product.
Where is Senate Bill 125 today? Where is this?
I did not look at the referrals. Actually, the referrals won't be made until the first date.
As you say, yeah.
It was pre-filed. Also, on the first day of the session, it was going to be made. I would hope that Senator Kelly would be very generous in the referrals to any other legislation.
So this is a fresh bill for this session.
Write the rules.
All right. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Further questions for Gene? Thank you, Gene. On our agenda, before we go to executive session, I ask for your indulgence to apologize. We have a new board member. We all kind of visited with Mike at their AA meeting, but I'm going to ask Mike to introduce himself and for the record and give us a little brief history again. I will tell you, I've done some fact checking, so I'll be checking you really quickly.
Did you already do the fact check? Yeah. I need to make an amendment.
Actually, my fact check is right here with Mr. Wilkin. You know, he kicks me, but anyway, Mike, welcome.
Thank you. Pleased to be here, Mr. Chair. My name is Mike Barnhill. I've worked for the state of Alaska since 1998. For most of that period, I've been an assistant attorney general in the Department of Law. In 2011, I joined the Department of Administration as deputy commissioner, and I worked there for 4 years. Subsequent to that, I had short stints in the Office of Management and Budget, and then back at the Department of Administration. For the last 2 years, I've been working as a state investment officer with the Department of Revenue, working on investments for the retirement system. I'm delighted to be a part of this group. I look forward to working with you.
Well, thank you. I can welcome you to speak for all the whole board. Look forward to your positive input and guidance. Critical times. With that, I'll bring up item number C, executive session for the Ventura Energy Project, Mach 1, and personnel matters.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I move that we go into executive session to discuss confidential and financial information related to the Ventura Energy Project, Mustang Operations Center, and personnel matters.
Second. Any objections? We're going to executive session. Is it in the...
Yes,
the room. Room.
You are back on the record.
Thank you. I'll advise the board does not take any formal action on matters discussed while in executive session. That brings us to item number 8, director's comment. John?
As our core mission, ADA provides financing and investment to support growth and diversification of Alaska's enterprise and industrial economic engines. Our goals include providing access to capital, supporting job creation, and strengthening the state's business sectors. And we look forward to continuing to support through 2018. We're encouraged by the prospects of improved markets for Alaska's resource industries and better access to responsibly develop Alaska resources, the underpinnings of our economy. Also, just wanted to reiterate welcome to our new board members and to give our new board members an ADA pin.
Thank you.
Awesome.
For existing board members?
Yeah.
What did
they
say?
They said heck?
Yeah.
I almost went the other way.
Really good.
Make sure that everyone...
I didn't know you could teach an old dog new tricks.
Thank you, John.
Okay. I hadn't realized that these had been made available, but so everyone has made it. And other than that, we have the loan dashboard and reports, development project matrices, and project fact sheet updates available for review. Continuing education calendar. If board members are interested in attending, of course, please contact Sherry Severson. And we have a few key upcoming dates, including orientation for new board members on Tuesday, February 1st. 2018 Strategic Planning Board Work Session on February 28, 2018, and the next day of board meeting scheduled for Thursday, March 1st, 2018, all of these at Ada's office.
Thank you, John. Again, I'd like to welcome Mike today, and I would ask John that you lean on Mike pretty heavy about how to deal with our asset management, dealing with having everything in bonds. When the stock market's going out of sight, our portfolio value is going down.
Certainly, sure.
Okay. Somehow we've got to either diversify a little bit or something, and it's way over my pay grade. And I know it's low risk when you have bonds, but maybe a little more diversification or something. Questions from the board? Comments? Gary?
So I'd like for us to, know the status of or the level of effort that the state government is putting forth in regard to the Trump infrastructure plan that may or may not be down the pike. I believe pretty much everything that President Trump does between 7 a.m. and midnight in his support. So, and one of those things is I think he's dead serious about an infrastructure plan. So I'd like to know, if it's not us, who is it reaching out to Washington, D.C.? Because it all starts with those three people, certainly those two people. And I'd like to have a written report back to us as to who's doing what, so that when the time comes, when this cuts loose, that we're in the queue to do something significant. And as I said to John David, significant means what? Susitna Watana. Significant means inner tie upgrade. And I left it at that. John had some suggestions, which I didn't like. So, but anyway, I don't want to skew my message. This may very well happen, and it's real. There may be cash there. What are we doing about it as a development agency? So if you could find out, John, who's helping and what we can do to help them help us.
What you got there, Fred?
That's my phone ring from my wife. It's a diesel terminal.
It is. Yeah. It's like a diesel. It's like a cat diesel.
Yeah.
Mine's a train horn.
I just wanted to... So John posed that question also to me. I did some checking in the governor's office there. I know that the governor himself has put forward a number of things, but I was directed to John Crowther on the D.C. staff, and I can follow up with him, because I think your question is timely and astute. Mr. Chairman, I had two comments, if you're done, Senator.
I'm done, thank you.
I always wanted to refer to the Senator. Get that out of the way.
Mr. Speaker, go right ahead.
I wanted to note in our dashboard, particularly to Mike Bernie, that we carry delinquency data there. And we continue to show that we are at a 0% delinquency rate in our loans as of June 3rd, 17th. And so I keep waiting for the shoe to drop from this economic downturn, and our data at this point still doesn't reflect it. So I just want that for discussion or consideration. And then the second thing I wanted to do with the allowance of the rest of the board. We've been in this workout process with Mach 1 for an extended period of time, and I would just like to ask our executive director to continue that process and come back to us with a package that we can consider, if necessary, in the interim between now and our next meeting.
Okay, Gary.
Thank you.
Bernie?
I would, as the new guy here, and I'm not sure exactly the day that the bonds are going to be paid off on the dam over there at Bradley Lake, but I understand when they're paid off, there's going to be money coming in that will go into the Rail Belt Energy Fund, I assume, or something like that. I think that we ought to be looking at a project for that and do it now and get everybody lined up for fixing our intertie so that Fairbanks and all the utilities on the Rail Belt can share in reasonable electricity when someone else is spinning and they need it. Right now, I mean, for a state of 700,000 people, It's ridiculous the way our utilities are set up. I mean, I understand why it happened, but now it's time, I believe, that everybody gets to share in the pie a little better. And it's going to take leadership from this board to get it done, because that $12 million, when it goes in there into that fund, I'm going to tell you everybody's going to be wanting to get that money, or I don't know how much it is, $22 million?
$12 million,
all right.
11 or 12.
All right, so anyway, when that goes into that fund, you know, that could that money coming in there could really help for bonding. Like you were mentioning earlier about bonding, that money would certainly put us in a good atmosphere for bonding, fixing the intertie. And I think we ought to discuss it now and have everything in place, because when that money goes in there, somebody else is going to try to get it. I guarantee you, under the conditions we live in today, we want to get it committed, and I think we should commit it now. I mean, I think we should work it towards getting it committed. We're early now. There's still, is it 2 years left before it's paid up?
20, that's a
3 years?
That's 2020.
Well, we still need to be thinking about it now.
2.5 years.
We need to get the utilities online. We need to get things all put in place so someone else knows that money is earmarked for something that's good. Just an opinion.
Mr. Chairman, thank you, Bernie. I agree with your focus on the topic. It's already drawing considerable interest, and I think we should be... It's two things. When we do our strategic planning retreat with AEA, I think we should get this on the table with our new director and hash on it further. And
make it reality.
I also would note that for your background, we have a 2014 study that identified a set of rail belt improvements. Those recommended improvements are in dispute in the sense that the six utilities have a list that's a different list. And at some point, you need to get all those cards on the table, bang them against each other, decide what the priorities are, and then figure out how you're going to go do it. And I agree with you that I think AEA has a leadership role to play there, given our ownership of the intertie and Bradley Lake, and now the coming Battle Creek Diversion Project. But I think a month from now, we have the perfect opportunity to put our thinking caps on and dig deeper.
So when following up on that, one of the...
I directed that to Chairman Russell.
I saw that. So, and Chairman Russell may not like this, but I've talked to him many times. And I think one of the constraints ADIT has is a limited balance sheet. In order to be a bigger player and to do more things throughout the state, you know, a bolstered, increased balance sheet would be very beneficial. That being said, you know, stockholders can't throw a bunch of cash into ADIT. But there are some assets that can go into ADA that we can then monetize in certain way, leverage certain ways. One of them is Bradley Lake. The other one is the intertie. There are a couple others is two state airports, Fairbanks Anchorage and the International Airport System. What I call industrial type assets that as ADA as a board and as an organization can then take and monetize it to facilitate other big projects, rail belt, statewide. And I think strategic planning, I think the leadership is needed, very, quite frankly. I think we can capture a lot of birds with one stone by doing something like this. It's just having the resolve to do it. And the flak jacket, because when someone thinks they have their eyes set on something.
You're going to take a lot of heat on this one, but that's why we need to do it. We need to be planning it now and have this strategic plan all put in place and be ready just to go when the time's right.
We have an asset intertie that all the utilities do is pay for some maintenance. There's no replacement fund. There's nothing. And so at the end of the day, it's a liability out there that we need to figure out how to continue that intertie asset. And it may be using some Bradley Lake dollars, but ADA has the ability to take that and do some other things that AEA doesn't. And so I think working through these things we're a common board actually is beneficial to do that. So that's my kind of touch today. Subject to change without notice.
Notice or
yeah. Any further comments?
take a motion.
I would just like to say thank you to the staff and the board for a very, very interesting first day. I really do look forward to the new member orientation. But I also wanted to share that I've heard various board members speak today and articulate a vision for growing Alaska, which I think is very inspiring. I'm really delighted to take part in that. So thank you.
Thank you. Is there a motion?
Make a motion to adjourn.
Second.